That's our passage for this morning. Well, when we come together here, we are friends, we are servants, we gather together and we have a great family. It's often we do not really realize that we are saved sinners. We are not as perfect, Scripture says, that there is none righteous, no, not one. We are not sin, we are not wrong. And I have that background, the difficulties of life, we come together here as a family. That was one of the things that appealed to me from church when I first became a Christian. I saw in the family of God a refuge, a place where we could all come together, where I could be accepted, even though I had no value, even though I had many problems, even though my family had all kinds of difficulties. In Christ, we can be one no matter what our backgrounds are. Such were some of you. And I'm explaining that we're going to talk about God's rehab program. The first part of this sermon last time I was here and showed the ideas and the concepts that God has presented to us, that He has a solution for the sin problem. So let's look at this morning. Here's the passage, 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. You know that the unrighteous, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor idolaters. The extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. We're not going to inherit if we live this way. The kingdom of God is a refuge from this. The world around us is full of this stuff. It's polluted. We're on television, look at what's there, and the stuff is so perverted, so soundly distorted, that it's just almost seems unbelievable sometimes. Why? People love perversion. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. God is going to give us a place for us where we're dying someday, and He's not going to throw it out when we're stepping out here. It's going to be there. They will not be there. We're not going to turn that into the same kind of hell that goes on in this life. People killing each other, abusing each other, hatred, all kinds of wickedness, diseases and things, because people don't listen to what God said. God has a solution to the problems, but man fails to listen. And it says, except for some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So here are the two situations. The world is far of pollution, but it's not going to enter in the kingdom of heaven. The people there who come out of that world have had the problems of sin. Some of you have these problems. Some of us have had terribly bad histories. But God has come in the Son and given us a new way, a new hope, a new life, something different. You are washed. You are
Well, she was righteous.
many members. They have seen what the truth was coming to the Jesus talked about coming into the place of prayer. And upon him are the very prophecy, stuff up himself. Come to God, we saw that way through our lives. But I'm not that kind of man. I'm just. And unholy. And so Jesus said, he prayed with himself. It's interesting words. And then the prophet fell down on his knees and cried out and said, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the difference in views. I'm not here because I think I'm better than other men. I think I'm here because I wasn't better than others. And God gave me that great opportunity. And as a young person, with a troubled home, a lot of problems, my own personal failures, I saw in the church that hope, something new, something different, a problem that I could get out of. Not because I was good, but because God was good. He cared for me. And that's been a very strong driving force in my life. Jesus was a friend of publicans and sinners. There's sometimes I've been accused of being a friend of publicans and sinners, essentially. But I was a friend of somebody who did a terrible wrong. Yes, I was. And I'm not ashamed of it. You come to this church, I want to tell you something. I don't care what your past has been. I don't care how bad you've been. I don't care what you've done. We care because Jesus cared. And he called the sinners repentance. Well, that's why we're here. We're not here because we're better than others or we want to show off how good we are. Some people say, well, the church is, I don't go to church because there's too many hypocrites. Well, so I was going for one more. A lot of people are hypocritical about not knowing faith. Well, I'm going to church because there's so many hypocrites outside. Well, here I can come and I can find some people who care. Well, my mistakes, but I want to do something different. Well, I want the healing power of Jesus in their life. Well, I want something better. And we're all here because we have done wrong. If we haven't done anything wrong, then we really shouldn't be here now. We need to go to heaven. You know, but Jesus said that the scripture says that there's no righteous, no not one, and that's wrong. And if we can't love each other, and we can't love compassion on each other, then we're not going to get it on ourselves. We have to give compassion. We have to give patience. We have to give love if we're going to receive it. Because Jesus gives to those who will love each other. So it's not meant to be a friend of publicans and sinners, even on election days. The solution realized, this is the main part of the sermon, preached the other part last time, this time we're talking about the answers and solution. You know, it's one thing to say the world is in a mess, everything's going around a handbasket. There he is, to a great extent. But I'm going to tell you that there's a solution. God has a solution. He's been working on this for many thousands of years. He's praying, providing loving Jesus and giving the answer. And what Trump is, the devil is maybe trying to get people to not accept it and not see it and not see how wonderful it can be. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, and such were some of you. Now, that didn't blow a word, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. There's a change. The old and the new. Such were some of you. Past tense. But then something has changed. You are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified. Let's take a look at those. You are washed. In Acts 22:16 says, and now, while you wait, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Calling on the name of the Lord. You were washed. That's what Paul was told by the Lord. Ananias was given the message to tell him, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. That's where you begin this new cleansed life. Hebrews 10:22 says, let us come here with a true heart and assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. In that place, in that case, it's talking about the blood of Jesus cleansing our hearts and our bodies washed with pure water. It's a dual thing that happens. What we do on the outside with, because God told us to, becomes a part of what takes place within as we're sprinkled with the blood of Christ, cleansed by his blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the pill that makes me white as snow. Never can't I tell. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I hold him in. That's it all. We don't have to live the old life. We don't have to carry the old guilt. We don't have to take some social program or see some secular counselor to try to straighten out our hearts. Jesus has the answer. He cleanses it. Instead of saying, well, maybe you shouldn't feel guilty because, it's okay, anyway, it doesn't matter what you do. He cleanses it. He removes it. You don't have to feel guilty because you aren't guilty anymore. Cleanse. In Corinthians 2:12-13 says, buried with him in baptism. When you also risen with him, through faith in the living God who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh has he made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. That nice? Let's get up outside the church. Here's a place I can come and wash and get cleansed. It's nice. It's wonderful. The feel is gone. And you can start over anew. We've all done it. We've all made mistakes. We've all done wrong. But Jesus can forgive our trespasses. 1 Peter 3:20-21. Unless the Lord suffered the bad waiting in the days of now, while the rock was preparing, where a few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. Well, if you have to believe in baptism, the pastor now save us. not the body of the flesh, but the appeal to God with a clear conscience by the resurrection of Christ. That's what takes place. We are buried in baptism. We call on the name of God. We rise and be baptized and wash away the sins, calling on his name. We appeal to God for a clear conscience. And that's what God's looking at. Even it's not the water washing over the body that actually does it. It's the cleansing of the soul through the blood of Jesus. By appealing to our appeal to God, an honest appeal, Lord, cleanse me. Lord, help me to be what you want me to be. Galatians 3:26 through 31, it says, "For you are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Children of God. John 3:5 says, "Born of the water and the Spirit, a new child, all new." That's a wonderful concept. God. We're reborn. Some people observe their baptismal birthdays. You're children of God. By faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have become Christ. Revelation talks about having our robes washed right in the blood of the Lamb. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Not that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and yet all things are become new." The children of God. If you're in Christ, the Bible says you're baptized into Christ. When you get into Christ, you're a new creature. Born again. Born of the water and of the Spirit. Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who are not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For in Christ, there's no condemnation." You see, the past is gone. I don't care what your past is. I don't care what you ever did. God doesn't care. We don't care. Your past is past. It's gone. You're a new creature. All new. That's how it starts out. You get to start over again. Isn't that neat? Just to be able to start. You ever felt really bad? Felt like I just like to start over again. I like to. You can. You can be born again. He says, "But you're sanctified." Sanctified. The word sanctified has to do with setting aside. It's the same word as saint, basically. Saint is the noun, sanctified is the adjective. The saint is a person who has been set aside for God. It doesn't mean a person who is perfect. It means one who has dedicated. And so we are saints. You don't wait until you get to heaven to be a saint. That's a mistake. You're a saint now when you become sanctified by the blood of Jesus. And so, you start over. "But I live in every place upon unto the church of God which is called to them who are sanctified in Christ Jesus." All to be saints. "But I live in every place called upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours." Ephesians 5:25-27. This is described like the relationship between a man and a woman. When in the pure relationship that God perceives in marriage. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Now that's where, to me, that sets the relationship of one way of mind, far above the concepts of today, Shaka, Mogan, you know, have your plane, when you are me, please. This raises marriage to a higher level, like Christ in the church. And we ought to treat our wives like Christ treated the church. He gave himself a credit. He didn't have it. I want my way. I'm in control here. They didn't have, even the picture wasn't the woman telling thanks what to do either. But they were together. Christ gave himself up. It was her needs that were ahead of his. He was the protector. He's the one that preserves and brings about a new relationship. Christ, the washing of water by the word, sanctified, set aside, a holy relationship, and that's what marriage ought to be. But he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And that's what God seeks for us to seek. That's what we're to seek for. The Hebrews 10 can say, by which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the body of Jesus Christ, that we are sanctified through the offering of Him. We're set aside. Hebrews 10:13, for by that offering He has perfected forever them that are sanctified. So, by His blood, we are sanctified, set aside. We become holy people. We are bought with a price, the scripture says. And therefore, we ought to be obeying Christ. Hebrews 12:13 says, wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. So we're sanctified by the blood of Jesus. And therefore, let us go out there under Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. We can't stay in the world and live like the world. We have to go out and be with Jesus. We're going to have to separate ourselves from the trashy, ungodly way that people are living. We're going to be different. The scripture says they're going to think it's strange that we don't run the excess supply. We have a family relationship, a loving relationship between us with Christ our Lord. Romans 12:2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We need to present ourselves to God. We're to be sanctified. We're to be set aside. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're going to be transformed by the renewing of our minds through the fact of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of our lives. We change the heart, then we change the rest of the body. But you're justified. Same thing. You're justified. Just as if I had never sinned. Justified. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. on the street, pray for you from Pentecostal, pray, have some and come short of the glory of God. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's by His grace. Grace is the unknown favor of God. Something we don't deserve that He gave to us. We're justified by His grace through His redemption to redeem that. I believe in the redemption of man. I don't believe you have to be what you were. I don't believe you have to be locked into that. I believe people can change. You're the power of God in their life. I've seen it happen. It's happened with me. It helps all of us. It lifts us up and leads, takes us out of the thing we're stuck in. Puts us into a new life and a new way of thinking. Justified by His grace. Through the redemption, through the sacrifice of Christ, when He redeemed us, brought us back. Redemption means He bought back. He paid the price. Titus 3:7 says that being justified by His grace, that is the unmerited favor that He gave for us. We didn't deserve it. And I'm so grateful that God didn't have to go out, didn't go on the basis of what I deserved. Believe me. If you get what you deserve, you're in big trouble. But God justified us by His grace. We should be made heirs for that inherit something according to the order of eternal life. Romans 5:1 says, let them be justified by faith. Through our faith in Him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We don't know, we don't see, but the evidence that we have available assures us and points to us that there is a hope. We have an answer. Christ has a solution for our problem. People will accept any kind of a junky theory, some kind of a phony story. They love to be deceived, the same thing. But they have a hard time accepting what Jesus says. Why? Because there's a devil in the world that blinds the minds of the unbelieving and tries to keep people from seeing the power that He can do in our lives. Justified by faith, we have peace with God. The word peace is a nice word. It's nice to feel at peace. At peace with yourself, at peace with the world, at peace with God most of all. Peace. Peace. With so much of the world, there is no peace. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:9, much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. A lot of people don't believe in that. They don't really believe that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ in their place could take place. It's just an unbelievable concept. But that's what Jesus offers. He came here and He went through the process of feeling and experiencing all the things that we have experienced. He knows how we feel. That's a reassurance to us that He can and will accept us if we accept Him. Justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. There is going to be wrath. Don't deceive yourself. Don't let anybody tell you differently. The wrath of God is going to come. But the mercy of God has been offered first. You don't have to experience His wrath. Someday this whole world is going to be destroyed. And all people with it. And He's going to take those who are part of His family into his home. He's prepared a place for us, that where he is, we can be also. We're a part of this family. You all want to go? Praise the Lord. Let's go together. Let's treat each other like good family members. Let's lift each other up. Let's strengthen each other. Let's help each other to get there. Even 6 months says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, it's actually the first principles, the basics of the doctrine of Christ. Let's go on into perfection. Now, we are the foundation of repentance from dead works and the faith of God. We need to think in terms of moving on, not staying on air, not just being church members, but people moving on. We need to be members. We need to be progressing and moving toward the offering of God has the faith that God has offered us. Remember Lot's wife. Now, look back. Look forward. Keep your eyes on the goal. Hebrews 12:1-2 says, what I've seen also, happens to matter somebody called of witnesses. He's talking about the 11th chapter of Hebrews, where all these great people of old were looking for what we have. And he's now picturing them as having one voice, and they're in this great coliseum, and they're looking down and watching us, and we are winning that race. And he's seeing that all of us, and the great cloud witnesses, let us celebrate the things that he knows, and making us run. Anything that hinders us, whatever it is, and the sin, which has already beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Look up there and finish your own faith right where the journey is set before him, and build the cross, despising the shame, and set down on the right hand of the throne of God. The running race. Jesus is at the end. Let's keep our eyes on him. Run the race. Don't be divided by anything. Leave aside the things that hinder us and the sins that we get into trouble with that make it difficult for us to run. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus and run. And the crowds are cheering us on of people who have gone before. It's a great, wonderful image. Philippians 4:8-9 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. We need to get our minds on good things. Get them off of the junk that's going on in the world. And stuff that diverts our minds. When you keep our eyes on Jesus, keep our minds set on what he wants. Fill our minds with the word of God. Will you be there when the word is being preached or being taught in the classes? The church tries to provide these things to fill us and build us up. The word of God is able to not fully finish this ungodly good work. We need to be into the word. We need to be reading it. We need to be praying for wisdom and guidance. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard, and seeing me do. You've got to move it from theory to action. Do. And the God of peace will be with you all. You want peace in your life? You want a new life? You want something that is different than the fears and the shame and frustrations that you face in life. This is it. This is it. Because battered and scattered, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin. But he handled it with a smile. "That's business, folks," he cried. "Well, spent the money for me. A dollar? A dollar? Then 10? Only 10? $3. And who'll make it 3? $3. Yes. $3 twice. And 1 for 3. But no." From the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Now wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loosened strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as a caring angel sings. Music ceased, and the auctioneer with a voice that was quiet and low said, "Who might be it for the old violin?" And he held up with the bow. $1,000. And we'll make it 2. 2,000. And we'll make it 3. 3,000. Yes, 3,000 price. And then, said he. The people cheered, but some of them cried, "We do not quite understand what jade sticks worth." Short came the reply, the touch of the master's hand. Another man wrote light out of tune, and battered and squalid as sin, his auctioned cheap, and a helpless crowd, much like the old violin. A muscle package, a glass of wine, a dream, and he traveled on. You paid once, and then twice. He's gone, and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish cried, "None can quite understand the worth of the sorrow and the chains that rot by the touch of the master's hand." Such were some of you. God's rehab program.